The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
I'm Jeff, X-Force 11, and welcome to Gotham Undercover, and I've got my special co-host with me this week.
Hello, everyone. I'm John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox, and welcome to Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what am I doing here?
Well, unfortunately, Karen lost her mom yesterday, and our hearts and prayers go out to her and the family, and we're just here to support her. And so I'm so thankful that, John, you were ready to jump in and help us out this week so that we could continue to cover the episode and take some things off of Karen's mind.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, this speaks to the Golden Spiral Media team that we have, that, you know, we're all willing to jump in and make things happen. But more importantly, that we really are here to support one another, and just all the best to Karen and all of her family during this trying time. Mm. So, all right, let's get underway with why we are here. This is Gotham Undercover, episode number 81, and we are a part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search out the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what episode are we talking about?
We're talking about Reunion, and Reunion was written by Peter Blake. This is his writing debut, but he does have another episode coming up this season with episode 19, and it was also the first time directorial debut for Annabelle K. Frost. She's a Gotham producer, but this is her first time directing, so we had a brand new team on board this week.
Yeah, but she's been part of the show for a long, long time.
Right? Oh, definitely. She has, and yeah. I think they've just kind of opened it up and said, okay, let's see what you can do. So, yeah.
There you go.
So what did you give the episode as far as rating goes?
I thought it was a solid episode. A lot of good stuff happening, a lot of forward progression on things, along with character development, especially where Ivy's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So I was given this episode 8 roads that lead Harvey back to the GCPD.
All right. Yeah, and I was in the same mind. I thought it was a really solid episode. I gave it 8 auburn-haired Ivies.
Is it auburn or is it...
You know, that's a good... Well, my story titles this week, I did get a little more inventive this week, so... a lot of these things were driven by Ivy or Sophia, but our A story is getting the band back together, a.k.a. the Blues Brothers, Jim and Harvey.
We're on a mission from God.
Oh, and then we have a family reunion with Bruce and Alfred. And then our C storylines, so you've got Ivy schemes and the cat attacks. And then you have outlaws, not in-laws, Sophia and Lee versus Lee. So, yeah.
Yikes.
Indeed. So let's talk about the Sophia and Lee section, because it wasn't a huge part of the storyline, but it has a lot of repercussions going forward. So did this surprise you any?
No, not really. I think we've seen the progression of Sophia from this kind of... She's always been a Falcone and therefore in a position of power, but she hasn't really, you know, come out as a true gangster, I think, until, at least for me, until this episode.
Right.
I mean, she's been manipulative. She's been behind the scenes. She's been setting things up the way she wants them to be. But in this episode, it was just like, okay, fine. I'm not pulling any punches anymore. Here's how things are going to go. And I was, if anything, I was a little bit surprised of... how she felt like Lee would just roll over. And that, I think, was the part that surprised me, was that she just, or maybe, I don't know, maybe she knew that she wouldn't and she didn't really care. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that Lee's thinking and kind of the reasoning that she got after she talked with Ed was fairly solid. And saying, listen, you may have stuff on Jim, but obviously you can't use it because you would have. And so Lee got on that way, but that's not a surprise when you think about how scheming Sophia has been. But I totally agree that Sophia has been really looking at how she wants to take over, and she's really rolling into that means, and she's really dispensing justice. I mean, she's gotten these people who were supposedly working for Lee to hide guns. She's got, now she is in full control in the Narrows, and she's made an example of Lee. It was really frightening to see her dispense justice on Lee's hand that way. And
that was awful.
Yeah, and so it was really hard, and but I like her moving to be more overt, because it kind of gives a focus for Jim to go at now that he's trying to go after her. But we've got to talk about Ed / the Riddler this week, because we did see a coming together, a reunion of personalities here.
Yeah.
And it was so touching, because Ed is taking all these drugs. He's trying to protect Lee. He gets to the point where he's about to really confess his love to her, and then he runs off. He's confronted with the fact that either he kills himself or he can't protect Lee. But the Riddler has gotten a letter from Oswald and kind of dupes Ed into signing himself into Arkham. But, oh, man, I love this turn. Oh, it was so, deliciously good between Oswald and the Riddler there at the end, and really causing Ed to come and merge into the Riddler. It was so good.
Yeah, literally the transformation that Ed makes in that scene to fully become the Riddler. That was really fun to watch. I also really enjoyed how the Riddler was totally in charge this whole time. I don't think he ever feared that Ed was going to actually step off that stair and take the noose. He totally had Ed just right where he wanted him the entire time. And, you know, I feel sorry for Ed, because I think at the end of the day, he really does just want to settle down into a somewhat normal life. And yes, he enjoys the power. Yes, he enjoys, you know, some of the more outlandish things about his life. But I think at the end of it, he just really wants peace. And, you know, and it's so far from him. And it's, I don't know, it makes him that much more tragic to me.
Yeah, it does. We have seen really the Riddler have his love pulled away from him. And we see Ed now having this pulled away. And so he's come to this dead end now, and he's been merged back in. And I think the character is going to be so much more rich, because both have really gone through a lot of things. And I think we're seeing the Riddler in control, but I think we're going to start to see some battle between the two, and we'll eventually get to the rhythm of who the Riddler is that we see when Batman's around, because of this struggle back and forth between Ed and the Riddler.
Right. And the power that Oswald had to bring that to the forefront, I thought was just, that was amazing storytelling.
Yeah, it really was. The talking to the Riddler, the speaking through Ed, and just the pleading with the Riddler to come out, and just how it was just so good to see that power play. The actors just did an amazing job with this scene, acting back and forth with each other. It was just really cool to see.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have a lot of Ivy-driven stuff in this episode, and it was really Ivy that was driving a lot of the reunions that we saw. We see Ivy. She's taken the Lazarus water. She has kind of schemed and planned, and first on her list to get revenge on is Harvey, the man that shot her dad. And so she shows up at the bar and a little disappointed that Harvey's not there, so she has to leave her calling card and not get at Harvey. I really thought this was interesting. We kind of get her knocking them out with the pollen and killing them. And then we see Fox on the scene kind of delving in, and he's just amazed. Even though after getting whammy last week, he's still amazed with what she can do with the plants.
Yeah, it was good to see Lucius there. Yeah, I think the progression that we've seen with Ivy, even within the last couple of episodes, and she like took things even like three or four steps forward in this episode. Now that she's figured out how to use the Lazarus water to, you know, create the plants that she wants to start to really, you know, get on her revenge kick. She doesn't hold a grudge against Wayne Enterprises anymore. Now it's just become personal.
Yeah. It's really, she sees everybody in the city as an offense. I mean, We see it later when Selena confronts her that she believes that everybody in the city is polluting. And so her plan is just to go after everybody, but she obviously wants to go after Harvey and Jim first. But we see Selena confront her, and it's hard because we have seen the two of them go through this interesting relationship with each other. And even at the end, Ivy just can't kill off Selena. She's got that respect, but she just can't kill her off because she's too close to, I think, she's gone through a lot of the same stuff Ivy has, and she just can't do it. But we'll see how long this truce holds. But it was interesting to see the two go back and forth at each other, and Selena was really prepared for it, and so I had many props for her for being prepared to really see it out to the end.
Oh, I enjoyed Selena in every aspect that she was in this episode. She really is such a fully developed character and knows how to react in all the situations that she's in. I just cannot say good enough about her and Carmen and just everything about Selena.
Yeah, definitely. So we have Jim showing up at the bar, and the first thing he thinks about is, oh my goodness, Ivy's going after Harvey. Yeah. And he takes the GCPD to Harvey's apartment. They're busting in, and there he is on the couch, and they all think he's dead. And Jim wakes up Harvey. You know, Harvey's not woken up by the GCPD busting in, but you know. But anyway, I love it. He gets the scoop from Jim, and Jim's wanting to put him back in service, and he goes, no, I'm going to do this on my own as soon as I find my pants.
I love it. He put the hat on and everything.
He's got his hat, his coat, and no pants. It's like, okay. Oh, man. But so he does some scouting, and he gives Jim a call, said, hey, I've got a lead. And he says, listen, she's been recruiting people at this bar. And the door opens, and out comes Ivy. And little do we know, but Harvey has got the drop on Jim because he's been whammied by Ivy. And this was a nice turn because he wasn't as sappy and kind of awestruck like we have seen in the last couple episodes. And so it was a neat turn to see him have the drop on Jim.
Again, the interactions between Harvey and Jim this season have just, to me, been the hallmark of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And this interaction with Harvey, you know, having taken the IV medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gives them the opportunity to really, you know, say some things that they wouldn't normally say to each other.
Right.
And, you know, call him out and say, you know, it was your fault. You know, Jim saying it was your fault that you lost the captainship. You weren't man enough to take care of what needed to be. And, you know, I love that this interaction then leads to, you know, the further step of them coming together and the further step of them coming together. I loved this interaction.
Yeah, we see Ivy's like, okay, Harvey, kill him and then finish yourself off. And then we see this kind of play back and forth, and Jim's biding his time and helping Harvey to empty his gun and then gets the drop on him. But the scene in the locker room that follows this at the GCPD,
yes,
was amazing. It's the cover art for this blog post, because the two of them sitting there and hashing things out, that we got to see. This was, you know, another round of that we got to see in this episode. But really seeing that honest talk with each other. And Harvey says, you know, is asked about if he heard anything. And so we know that when they're whammy, they still hear everything. So that all that interaction, while Harvey was whammied, Harvey understood. So yes. there's no blanking out. So Harvey says, yeah, I heard her talk about, you know, going after the people. And so that leads them to think, okay, the rich folks. And then Alvarez says, hey, Wayne Foundation's having a banquet. And I like the fact that Harvey still just doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust himself to not fall back under her sway. And so he says, no, I'll stay here and answer the phones. And so I like the fact that he is really thinking about his past and not just refusing because he doesn't want to be a part, but he's really wanting to be a part, but just doesn't want to be a liability. And I appreciate that, because once again, we're seeing this movement of characters, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and so Jim and the GCPD suit up. Now, here's a plot flaw. He says, you know, everybody suit up, get your gas mask, all that kind of stuff. But we see them get to the banquet and nobody has gas masks. I'm like, come on, guys. Did you not listen to your captain? Come on, continuity folks. But anyway, they get to the banquet and hilarity ensues, as your co-host would like to say. Corey would like to say.
Sorry.
So let's...
Clinks to you, Corey.
Yeah. So let's jump back a little bit and talk about Bruce and Alfred so we can catch up. So Bruce has come to Alfred on his turf. He's come down to the diner there, and he has asked Alfred back into his life. He's apologized, but Alfred's just not having it. And I really appreciated Alfred's reasoning and his wanting Bruce to really think about this and be sincere and not just do this at a surface level.
Well, it was the lesson that Bruce needed to have.
Exactly.
You can't just mess with people and send them away and bring them back at your whim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to, you know, truly respect, you know, the people that you're around and, you know, treat them well in order to have the kind of relationships that you want. So this was kind of the last lesson that Alfred needed to teach him about this. And you're right. He handled it very, very well.
Yeah, he did. And Bruce is, you know, fed up and just, he doesn't have the answers. He needs to talk and Alfred's not there. So he goes to Selena, but Selena's not having it. She's worrying about Ivy and trying to figure out what's going on there. And she realizes that, you know, it was really true what he told her the other day, that that Alfred is not having it, and she tells him, you've got to apologize. And so you know, he thinks about it. He's kind of laid it out that the Foundation's having the dinner and invited Alfred. Alfred said no, but he's thinking about it. So we get to the Foundation dinner, and Bruce is there. He's starting to speak, and Alfred shows up, and it just throws Bruce. And I really appreciate that, because the kid is, you know, 16. And here he is speaking in front of all these people, and he gets thrown because Alfred walks in and he really wants that relationship back. And it doesn't really matter that all these people are in the room and listening to him. He's going to speak out and take Selena's advice and apologize. And he, you know, sets forth his apology. And Alfred, he and Alfred have a talk there at the end, and Alfred appreciates that. And I really like it, because Alfred says, yes, you've seen that darkness, but that's not the bottom of things. The bottom of things is your heart. You care about people. You care about this city. You care about protecting this city. And you can't deny the darkness in there. You can't just use the light. You've got to use both and use your heart kind of as a guide to kind of funnel this, but you have to learn this lesson on your own. And Bruce just wasn't having it.
Well, you know, I go back to the beginning of the episode, and this is after the last week when Bruce had the vision quest, if you will, through Ivy, thank you very much, of, you know, what it is that he will become as far as Batman. And he takes the proto mask that he has, you know, and he throws it in the fire and gets rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, was that supposed to communicate to us that Bruce does not, like, he's scared. He doesn't want to take on this bat mantle, if you will. Right. And I don't know. What was the feeling that you got from him doing that?
I was conflicted on that, because in the vision, we see him see the mask, at first see the mask and even the outfit as just an empty shell. But then at the end of the vision, we're reminded that the Crime Alley was the birthplace of Batman, and that this is your future, basically. And he's still conflicted, I think, and I'm kind of conflicted too, because he just doesn't want to know what to do, because, and he doesn't have anybody as a sounding board at this point too. He's seeing this darkness and he's afraid of it, and so he thinks if he gets rid of the mask, then that's the right step of not going down that path that he's afraid of. I just don't know. I think he's conflicted, and so it was conflicting to us too.
Yeah.
But yet he is in the midst of walking out of the banquet, and Jim and the GCPD show up, and he knows that he's got to do something, and so he jumps back in. I mean, he pulls out this, you know, fallen guy's clothing, the mask and the hood and everything, and he gets back into action. So he's wanting to fight. He's wanting to stand up and save his friend. And he's only concerned about Alfred. He comes in and he saves Alfred, and he wants to get Alfred out. And Alfred said, no, you've got to, this is who you are. You've got to fight. And so he sets him on that path. So I think he's still struggling to find himself, and I really appreciated the conversation there in the kitchen. I love that set there at Wayne Manor, and the conversations that we have. On some of the other DC shows, we have halls of exposition. Well, we have the maybe the kitchen of communication or something like that. I don't know, but
yes.
That conversation between the two of them, of Bruce really coming to himself and saying, listen, I accept both parts, and they're both a part of me. I've got to go forward, and he's ready to send Alfred back to the Narrows and take him back if he wants to, but Alfred sees the real change there, and it's by both his words and his actions. And I think that's important because Alfred is not just concerned about what Bruce says. He's concerned about what Bruce says and does. And yeah. He's demonstrated that, both of those things. And now he's ready to kind of step back up and help Bruce on this journey.
Exactly. And that's what I found so beautiful, was that Bruce on his own was not ready to step into that persona. And so that's why he balked and he threw the mask into the fire. Mm. He was not ready to do this, but through Alfred guiding him, we come down, you know, we come to the end of the episode when he is ready and he understands what he's able to do using the darkness. And, you know, again, just Alfred leading him down this path. I thought this was a beautiful progression that leads to, you know, Alfred saying, yeah, I'm home.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was beautiful. And some people say it's maybe a little rushed, and yeah, maybe it is a little bit, but I think we're still seeing the beginning road of this, and it's going to be a process where the two of them work together to really shape and mold Batman, the Dark Knight. They're going to journey down this road together, and it's going to be a process where there's one step forward and two step back. So I'm content with it, with where they are now. But it like I said, it was just a really powerful scene there. Mm-hmm. So we we have Jim and the GCPD show up, and it turns out that Ivy has planted her flowers in the centerpieces, and she's there to kind of make a beautiful to her garden with these people's deaths. And she takes one guy out, and Alfred is going to not let her continue, but one of the thugs gets the drop on him. And we have the GCPD break in just in time. She knows when she's beat, and she says, okay, kill everybody, and runs off. But we have this battle going on here, and like we said, Bruce steps up, and unfortunately, Jim has not been let on on the fact that Bruce is one of the friendlies.
Yeah.
And he sees Bruce after he's disarmed one of the thugs and shoots him. And thankfully, Bruce has got on a bulletproof vest, and that Jim aimed for center mass and not for the head.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but I love it. He's chasing Bruce up the stairs and out on the roof, and there's not a sign, no sign of Bruce whatsoever. And so turns out that Bruce has jumped across a building and escaped that way. But I just really appreciated kind of the Batman skills there. Okay, not a scene, not a sign of him at all. But in the mop-up, Jim gets a call, and she's where? And he goes running off, and we're thinking, oh, he's got a lead on Ivy. And no, it's he gets the scoop on Lee, that Lee's in the hospital. So what did you think about this scene with him looking over Lee in the hospital? What do you think his thinking was, and what did you see there?
You know, again, I've always been of the mind that Jim and Lee always belong together, and we're of course not going to get that resolved until probably the end of the entire series, and I can live with that. That's fine. But what the question that I have is, I don't understand the motivation behind Sophia, not just hurting Lee, but knowing full well that this is going to drive Jim to, you know, seek and destroy her. Right.
Mm, yeah.
So what is she trying to not prove, but like, what is the motivation behind stirring him to that position? If she wants him there in the captainship of the GCPD, if she wants him to, you know, be under her power and her thumb and, you know, that kind of a thing, even though he's pretty much told her, yeah, that's not going to happen. So is she just trying to motivate him to say, fine, okay, I'm just going to get you to the point where you're going to lash out at me and that will give me reason to kill you? I mean, I don't understand why she would need to go to all those lengths. If Jim's not doing what you want him to do, just get rid of him.
Yeah.
So I'm really having struggles with why she, you know, played things out the way that she did, because she, Sophia is smart. She knows that by damaging Lee, that's going to set Jim on this course. So why would she do that? That's where I'm having the, I can't get there.
Yeah. I really don't know either. I don't know. I mean, she seems very smart and very planning, but I think there's still some emotions involved too. And I think those emotions are getting the better of her, that she wants to play with Jim a bit more, to tango with him, to, I don't know, you know, it's, I think those emotions are getting the better of her smart planning side. And I think she may know that he's going to come for her,
yeah.
But she may not, she obviously is not going to realize how hard that he's going to come and all that he's going to do.
Oh my goodness.
And I think that she's going to underestimate him, but I think she's just blinded in that way, that she wants revenge for her brother. She wants kind of revenge because he didn't play out the way that she wanted to. She really wanted him to be that lover, aka, and also accomplice with her in ruling the city, and not having that, she just may feel a void because she saw somebody as an equal, and so she's lashing out. So I think that's part of it. But I just don't think we know. And because what this does, he sees her there. And I love the shot because he is looking in at Lee. And we see him looking in and we also see his reflection. And so that's just a powerful shot of he's looking in but yet looking out at the same time. And it, when the orderly says, she didn't tell us who did it, you know, that just gives him the impetus and it just drives him back to the GCPD. And once again, this wonderful shot, we see Harvey kind of looking over the GCPD. We're looking from above and then we get Jim coming in and we kind of get this interesting shot that we're kind of hanging out in the rafters. We're seeing, we're looking down on both of them and we're seeing kind of the ironwork, the steelwork in the building and seeing the lights, and we're kind of up high to start off. And then we come in and we really get to see this conversation between the two of them where they're both apologizing to each other and we see Jim coming clean and really saying, listen, I messed up. I was wrong. And he lays it out for Harvey. He comes clean and not in a way that, you know, Harvey was complaining about last episode where, basically you need a priest, but he is really saying, listen, I messed up. I need your help. And I've done wrong and I need your help to go after Sophia. And I just appreciated every bit of this scene, the cinematography, the writing between the two of them, the acting between the two of them. Like you said, their acting this season has just been a hallmark, but this scene just was amazing. The dialogue and everything. I just so appreciate the show because of scenes like this that it gives us. It was just so awesome.
Yes. Yeah, very, very well done.
Did we miss anything?
So Ivy basically walks away.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we don't really have a set plan where she's going at this point, do we?
She's in the wind. And she's basically told Selena, listen, all bets are off if we meet up again. Yeah. But she's in the wind. I mean, she can't come back to that pad because both the police and Selena know where she is. So she's in the wind. So I think looking at next week, we're going to have a little break while she kind of regroups. So I think she's going to have to consider what her plans are next. So she's in the wind.
And again, I can't wait to see where this leads with Sophia,
mm-hmm.
because Jim is, I mean, she's just literally put a target on her, and Jim is going to come and he's not going to care at what cost. He's not mm-hmm. going to care who he hurts in the process. Wow. I mean, this is going to be something.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, and we've got Samson taking over the Narrows for Sophia, and, how well the people are going to like that after having Lee. So it's just going to be exciting times to see all these play out.
And we're going to see full-time Riddler
mm-hmm.
and working with Oswald and probably Jerome as well.
Yeah.
And that'll be quite a trifecta.
Mm.
Watching them work their way out of Arkham will be quite a storyline to follow.
All right. Well, it's time for some feedback.
All right, we're going to get things kicked off with Chris. Good to have you back, Chris. He says, hey guys, it's good to be back. Point number one, good for Alfred not making this easy on Bruce. Bruce has been a major jerk to Alfred lately, so I don't mind him seeing him squirm. Indeed. It made me chuckle that the cops assumed Ivy already got Harvey when they found him sleeping. My mind immediately went to Bones on Star Trek when Harvey said, damn it, Jim. Maybe it's the Sherlock Holmes fan in me, but Ed hiring the street kids to be the eyes and ears on the streets reminds me of the Baker Street Irregulars who were hired by Holmes for the exact same purpose. I don't remember what Holmes paid them, but I'm sure it wasn't a set of encyclopedias minus the tea.
And 20 bucks.
And 20 bucks. He's like, oh, okay. Are Ivy's hired guns really stormtroopers? She told them to kill everyone, but as far as I could tell, they didn't hit anyone. Ouch. Not quite Batman yet, but he's getting there.
Hmm.
Selena appearing out of nowhere is reminding me of the Crow.
Yeah. And I believe he's meaning the wrestler, the Crow, who tends to appear out of the rafters and out of nowhere to take on his opponents.
I love this next point. All Selena is really missing is the mask at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. She is amazing at this point. If you have seen Casino, you had to be thinking about that when Lee got her hand smashed.
Mm.
That was so hard. Mm. Ugh. Mm-mm. And he's back. Assuming that's the Riddler there.
Yeah.
Good episode. Bruce becomes more like Batman. Selina is almost Catwoman now. And Ed is the Riddler. I've decided that I'm going to start giving out an award in every episode for the best character in the episode. Kind of like a football coach giving a game ball to the best player in the game. Instead of a game ball, I'm giving out keys to the Batmobile. And the winner of the first set of keys is Selina Kyle. I love the Ivy-Selina confrontation, and Selina really stood out there. I hope you will indulge me in my episode rating. Since my son's play keeps me sending in my feedback late, I'm going to go with one of the songs from Schoolhouse Rock and give this episode 3 times 3 and 9, because after all, 3 is a magic number. Thanks, guys. Chris.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to have you back. Yeah, it's, you know, he said, you know, he's been playing stage dad for his son and, you know, family comes first. But we do appreciate when you get your feedback in. Thank you so much, Chris.
Good to hear from you.
And we've got some written feedback from the Green Butterfly. So here we go. Mayday, mayday. This is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. Butterfly emoji. Cough, cough. we're dealing with an airborne contagion. And she's got the emoji with the mask over the face. Please stay indoors. I only have one set of encyclopedias without a T and $20 money emoji. What am I going to do with that? If you hang out in the Narrows long enough, you will need to know what to do if you're exposed to tetanus, and I do not have a T encyclopedia. Totally useless. The matchups I witnessed tonight, Ivy and Selena, Jim and Harvey, Oswald and Ed. Who do you need to break out of an asylum? A crazy, wink/tongue out, person, of course, crazy emoji. Queen of the Narrows versus Princess, crown emoji, of the mob. Bruce is coming to his senses and Alfred is home. Home emoji. 10 out of 10 coded letters. Fluttering dreamily. Green butterfly emoji. Zzz emoji. Isn't Ivy beautiful? Plant emoji. Plant emoji. Flower emoji. Flower emoji. Must fly higher. Must keep clear head. Undercover agents, I need backup. We're here for you, green butterflies. Fly high.
Fly high, fly clear.
Yeah. Ooh, thank good to you. Hear from you. Yeah, so good to hear from you. Well, if you want to be like those good folks, here's what you need to do.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Good news, everyone! Today, I got this article from our Twitter feed. And so happy to see it. We got a news article from Deadline.com. In it, Fox chief Gary Newman was talking about a lot of shows on the network, and he said the following about Gotham. Quote, "We ask a lot of it this year moving to Thursday nights, and I thought it did a pretty good job of opening up that night for us. I feel like Gotham should have a place in our schedule," unquote. That will, quote, "purely be a matter of scheduling. Thursday night is not available in the fall, so where do we use it? ? Hopefully there's more years of Gotham," unquote. And the reason we don't have the slot in the fall is because Fox is getting Thursday night football from the NFL on Thursday nights, and so that's taking up that time slot. So this is not an official renewal, but it looks pretty good for a season 5. So I was extremely happy when I saw this today.
Absolutely. And, you know, even if they hold it off for the fall and they still want to keep it on Thursday, they can bring it back in January, still with a full season. Quote unquote season of television, they're running all over the place these days. I mean, Karen and I are over on Supergirl, and that's not going to end this year until like almost towards the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no set calendar anymore. These seasons have 10 episodes, 13 episodes, 23 episodes, and they are all over the place. So there's nothing saying that, not that I don't want it to come back in the fall, but there's nothing saying that they couldn't still keep this on Thursdays, even if it's after the NFL.
Yeah, I would say that for me, if they're going to do that, and I would like them to be clear about it, say, you know, come out and say, okay, listen, we're gonna start Gotham's run here, and this is gonna run straight pretty much through, you know, from here to here. And, you know, even if they give us a shorter season, you know, 18 episodes or 12, I don't mind, but I would rather have that in a straight run than having a break in the middle. But, you know, unfortunately, the last few seasons we've had a break in the middle. Yeah. You know, for different
size break.
Yeah, for different, you know, TV shows and things like that. And so that's what I'd like to see. You know, what I'd really like to see maybe is to see a team up of maybe having the Gifted on at 8 and having Gotham on at 9. Because truthfully, we've been saying this all along, it's a 9 o'clock show.
Because viewer discretion is advised.
That's right. But having it follow the Gifted would be great because you've got this... this comic block, granted it's two different comic book houses, but you know, it would be a good thing to kind of follow it up. But we'll see. And I'm hoping that by the time that we get into May and they're starting to make these announcements at the upfronts, that we'll have a plan to say, okay, this is gonna be how Gotham's gonna run. So I'm really happy about it. And so
absolutely, yeah. This is very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And you know, I hope we certainly don't have to do a Save Gotham campaign.
Yeah.
But yeah, this looks very, very good.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Why don't you share about next week?
All right. Next Thursday, we have A Dark Knight, The Sinking Ship, The Grand Applause. Interesting title.
Mm-hmm.
Bullock and Gordon try and track down someone who is key in Sophia's control over Gotham. Meanwhile, Penguin, Lee, and Nygma enlist an unlikely ally as they seek revenge. And Selina asks Bruce for a favor to help her get rid of the guilt over Ivy in an all-new A Dark Knight, The Sinking Ship, The Grand Applause. That episode of Gotham airs Thursday, March 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you so much, John, for helping us out this week. We appreciate you having you here, and thank you so much. We just really appreciate it. And you did get to talk with Karen this week, and so you've got an episode of Triplecast with her coming out pretty soon.
We do. We finished up our breakout Eddie Murphy triple, and we ended it with Beverly Hills Cop, which interestingly was the highest grossing film of 1984. I didn't realize that until
wow.
I went back and did the research. Yeah. And was the highest R-rated, like the highest gross R-rated film for 19 years until The Matrix Unloaded came out.
Wow.
Or Reloaded, rather, came out in 2003. So yeah, just amazing, amazing stuff that this film basically set up, and all types of entertainment have gone back to it over the years. So we had a great discussion about that. So yeah, be looking for that episode coming out this coming week.
Nice. All right, folks. We'll see you back next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.